Yo, we back. You know, friends on a rampage. It's your boy, Xeno120. I got my boy, Chris the Hotep here.
How y'all beautiful people doing? Sorry about the long break that we took. You know, I had a pair of crabs I had to get online, my motherfucking ass. But I hope y'all have a great day, and we're going to have a good show.
Okay, crabs, right. Then I got my boy, Leo, in here.
Hey, yo, what's up? Again, sorry for the long wait. We had a emergency-wide meeting. There were some thick girls in the back that really needed to see us.
That's facts.
Head them down and knock them. Set them up. Knock them down.
All right. So, today, this time, we're doing a versus battle. But we're not doing any regular versus battle where we do like the character versus the character as far as who would win in a fight. We're going to do more of the series versus the series, right? And this time we're doing Dragon Ball Z versus Naruto and Naruto Shippuden. So, we got Naruto. It's about a kid who has a nine-tailed fox beard inside of him. The whole village don't rock with him. And he want to be the Hokage, which is like basically the leader of the village. Right? That's pretty good breakdown.
Well, he mostly wants respect, and the person who has respect is the Hokage.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's fair. That is what he wants. And yeah, and he just, that's his whole thing, is being Hokage. All right, Chris, tell us about Dragon Ball.
Well, Dragon Ball is a nice, fun story about seven wish-granting orbs that summon a dragon. And the main character is Son Goku. And a monkey boy found in the middle of some Chinese forest.
It's the mountains, motherfuckers.
I mean, was there not trees everywhere?
Whatever.
Forces could be in mountains.
Mountains, like trees, it. Outside.
We just started, you bet. Son of a bitch. but yeah. And this blue hair chick in the anime, purple hair chick in the manga, came with a dragon radar, found Goku, and then they went off on the world adventure to find the Dragon Balls. And that sets up the entire journey for us to see the whole planet. And the main goal is for Goku and Bulma to find a Dragon Ball so she can get her wish. And the series takes off from there.
Boom. All right. So, as far as development goes, we're going to start with Naruto. Because I feel like Naruto is it's a lot quicker, right? For us to get through, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, start off with my boy, Naruto Uzumaki, right? He just a kid. He doing pranks and stuff because he wants attention. And then, he wants to be the Hokage. So, he got to go through Ninja Academy, go from beginning to, you know, Chunin. What is the third one? Jonin, yeah, there it is. Jonin, and then, like, essentially, like, you go to Hokage, right?
Isn't there a fifth one?
I don't think so. Unless you're
not. It's offsets, like the Anbu Black Ops and his
special Jonin.
Different shit like that.
Yeah, where they're just, it's basically like you specialize in something, so you're like a special Jonin. So if you're like a teacher, then you're like a special Jonin or some shit like that. Like Konohamaru, his master was a special Jonin. Alright, I think his name was Ebisu. Never mind, that might have been the wrong name. So anyway, so as far as development goes, I think it's pretty solid. Like, he goes from being like this childish kid who, in the beginning, he gets tricked into stealing one of the secret ninja scrolls.
Yeah, the first Hokage secret ninja scroll.
Yeah.
Which had all the forbidden jutsus on it, right? And when he got it, he ended up learning one of his most iconic moves, the Shadow Clone Jutsu. Kagiboshi no Jutsu.
The multi shadow clone Jutsu.
The multi, my bad, yeah, the multi shadow clone Jutsu, right? And yep. He learns it like almost instantly, which is very wild. But the thing about that is, you gotta have a lot of chakra to use multiple, like to make so many shadow clones. And that kind of foreshadowed like the reason why he ended up making like a whole bunch of them. And it kind of foreshadowed like, oh wow, this guy has a lot of chakra to be able to do that, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, does that, and from there he ends up Iruka sensei. He ends up getting saved by him and then saving him from Mizuki. Right, so then he end up.
The fact that you remember Mizuki's name.
Yeah. Hey, I ain't gonna lie.
The white haired dude who got bodied.
It was only in one episode.
Yep, I do remember his name. Yes, I do. I don't know how I remember it, but that's my. Hey, it is what it is. Mizuki, yes sir. He gets bodied by Naruto. But then that's when he ended up graduating from like the Ninja Academy, because he couldn't even make a shadow clone. So then he ends up part of Squad 7, right? You got,
yeah.
It's the, and I don't know if you know about the rule of three, where it's like, just like an example. This is not exactly what it is, but it's basically like it takes the three characters. So it's like the smart one, the strong one, and then like the balanced one, essentially. So like they were mates in squads of three with the one woman character or female in the group, and then you got the males. So Naruto, I don't know, I guess he's supposed to be the strong one, I guess.
He is.
And then you got Sasuke, who was the smart one, and then Sakura. No.
Nah.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my bad. Sasuke is the middle. He's the middle. He's the smart and the strong.
Sasuke's like, the talented one.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you got, okay, sorry. Okay, yeah, you're right. The smarticles. Y'all got the smarticles. So he ended up part of their group, right? And then they end up going on a whole bunch of adventures and shit, right? So as far as development goes, right? You got the kid who plays too much, right? He just wants some attention. He gets into like these real life situations where had to save his teacher. He ends up learning, like, they like foreshadow a lot of his, like, his power within, like, those little spots and battles. And then, how he develops his, like, relationships with his group mates. And then, like, the characters around him, right? So you got him. Then you got Sasuke, who is like a Duro antagonist, really. Because it's like Naruto and Sasuke, really. And his backstory is his whole clan got murdered by his older brother, and he's out for revenge. But we find out later that that don't even matter. Like, that wasn't the whole truth. So, but you got that. It's pretty simple. Like, they just basically went on ninja missions and stuff. Then they do like the exams, the Chunin exams, which that was. I always like the tournament arcs in the anime. I ain't gonna lie. That's probably one of my favorite arcs is the Forest of Death arc. I mean the Forest of Death exam part.
Mm-hmm.
That's always one of my favorite ones. So then basically they're trying to get power. So Naruto basically surpassed Sasuke up until like a certain point. As far as like his ability, so like when he saved him in the forest, Sasuke felt like useless and shit. But then once they get to like the part three where they're doing like the prelims, and then third part where they're actually just fighting against each other, Naruto essentially passes him, and then that's when Sasuke's like, yo, I gotta be strong because I gotta defeat my brother. So he ends up going off with Orochimaru. Or to go to seek him out so he can get more power, right? And and it's pretty streamlined. It's just like, this guy wants to be the strongest, wants to be Hokage, right? But he's like talentless, essentially, because he doesn't have anybody to like guide him because he didn't have parents. Mm-hmm. So you see, like, he like the initially he's like the underdog, right? It's the underdog tale, right? Oh, he don't really got nobody. He kind of just like this talentless loser, blah blah blah. And then he just gets better over time. But then you find out he has crazy plot armor. But that's just the beginning, right?
Oh, the destiny.
Yeah, crazy plot armor. Crazy plot armor.
And we all have to admit the very end, Neji was right.
Wait. We not there yet. You're right.
We can still say that. He does say that in the tournament when they're kids. We all can agree. Right.
Facts.
He said, we're all chosen by destiny, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm Naruto, and I was born a loser, so I'm going beyond destiny.
Yeah, that was supposed to be his story, like the underdog story. It was like the basic, okay, nobody really like him.
The underdog. He was bred for success.
But we don't know that yet. We didn't know that yet. That's what I'm saying, though. That was the whole thing. He was developed to be literally, like, oh, the underdog. Yeah, we rooting for him. Like, He had some come ups, like, oh, okay, this one time, remember that one time he was fighting Haku and he fucking went beast mode, like the Nine Tail Fox came out and he started fighting, you're like, yeah, like, we didn't think nothing of it, but it was like, oh, you know what I'm saying, some he'd be a surprise, because he actually, even though he wears bright orange, which that makes no sense for him to wear bright orange as a ninja, but that's something totally, I'm not going to digress, but he actually was a pretty decent ninja when it was just about ninja-ing. But basically, yeah, he's just like the underdog Dale, you know, classic, you know, he work hard and you do good. And it was pretty straightforward, I think. I mean, I rewatched it like twice, so I thought it was a pretty straightforward, you know what I'm saying? From zero to hero type thing, basically.
Okay. We ain't gonna talk about how this man lived in poverty.
Bro, the third Hokage was such a bitch nigga for that shit.
He really? Oh my god.
He's fucking.
Okay, whoa. We're not at Shippuden yet. But just for right now, this man Naruto basically lives in the Bronx.
By himself. And every once in a while, he gets a care package.
He gets a small care package to pay rent and then get some little bit of food, which is not enough.
He's a fucking kid. He's not even 12 yet. He's a child.
Yeah, the third Hokage, he definitely did him dirty as hell.
Did him dirty as hell.
The third Hokage is a hoe for that.
It just don't help that they treated him bad too. Like it'd be different if it was just like, oh,
that whole town is nothing but a bunch of fucking snakes and liars. there's only two people in that town I can give it to, and that's the Aruka Sensei.
No, it's the ramen dude, of Ichiraku.
And he's number one. Man's number one.
He looked out for Naruto. No cap. He looked out for Naruto.
He really did.
And Hinata. Because he was the only two that didn't treat him like shit.
Fair, yeah.
Aruka didn't treat him like shit. He was just like, why is this kid such a dumbass?
No. Initially, he didn't fuck with Naruto. He even said, like, oh, I didn't really like you because you had the Nine Tail Fox. But then I realized, like, that didn't make any type of sense for me not to like you based on something that you can't control. That's why I didn't say Iruka initially.
Yeah, initially, but then again, you can't blame him because, you know, his parents did get murked by that same Nine Tail Fox.
But if it wasn't, they got murked right
in front of his eyes.
But if it wasn't for Naruto, everybody would have died, including himself, in front of his eyes.
That's true, but, you know, people are irrational.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't fuck with that village. Hey. Konoha.
Hey. Everyone knows the village you want to go to is the Village of Stone.
honestly.
I'll give you that. Or the Cloud Village. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, no, I lied. I lied. They treated B bad. Oh, we too far. No.
All right. we'll get to that part later, but that village is still cool.
Fair. That's fair. But yeah. I mean, I think it was pretty solid. Like I said, it was just pretty decent. Like, nothing too outlandish. In my opinion, like, I feel like they were just doing a lot of foreshadowing and stuff. But seeing some of the stuff on, like, the bridge, like the bridge building arc with like Haku, yeah, like Zabuza and all that, I'm like, I can see where they coming from. That's pretty decent. They worked on, you know, chakra control, and they show Kakashi, like, how he's has a Sharingan and stuff. So, like, it wasn't anything too outlandish to the point where it's like, nah.
It's pretty good writing. The writing was decent.
Decent, yeah. The original Naruto, I think, was like top tier, like super top tier. So that brings me to Dragon Ball. All right, Chris, I'm gonna let you explain Dragon Ball.
All right, like I said before, the first arc we start off with the Monkey Boy and the Mountains Forest.
Don't remember he fell on his head when he got found by
No, that's too far. We don't learn that until Z. I don't know that yet.
Okay, my bad. Okay, go ahead.
So right now he's just a monkey boy who used to live in the forest. Grandpa passed away. He thinks his grandpa got stomped to death by a monster. He doesn't know it was him yet, but he told never to go outside during night time. No, it wasn't that.
During full moon, right?
But yeah. Goku was literally just a kid in the mountains, pure heart. He's just strong as hell, and he does martial arts. And Bulma rolls up on him trying to get a Dragon Ball, hits him with the car, so he beats up the car and she shoots him in the face. This girl's reaction to a kid that she hit with a car was to shoot him in the face. To shoot a kid.
Look, man, shoot first, ask questions later.
This girl is 14 years old. And Goku's
Goku was like 6 or 8.
No, he was he was like 11.
No, I thought he's not 11 until
later on.
Master Roshi.
Yeah, he doesn't. I think he was
okay. That makes it even worse. So
he's like 10 or like 10 or 9.
So he's like 8 or 9, and this 13 or 14 year old girl rolls up on him and shoots him in the fucking face. With a real gun, attempt to kill. And then when he popped back up, she was like, oh, you're supposed to be dead. So she was trying to kill him. That's how we start the series off.
The violence.
We start the series off with this murderous bitch trying to shoot Goku in the face. All because she wants to get her wish granted for her to get a boyfriend.
A boyfriend.
That is her wish from the Dragon Balls, for her to have a boyfriend. So, they become friends. Goku saves her from a pterodactyl or bat monster, or it was something along the lines of that. He saved her from that, and they became cool. And he started traveling with her because that Dragon Ball was his grandpa's Dragon Ball, the four star.
Mm-hmm.
They travel, and they start meeting different people along the way. They meet Oolong, the pig, the shape-shifting pig. They meet Yamcha, who became her first boyfriend, who was a bandit at first. Also another dude just trying to murk Goku on sight. I don't know what it is with these growing. And mind you, he was like 16, 17, almost 20. She was 14. He was trying to get up in a young girl's guts.
No, wait. It says right here, Bulma's age 16. Goku is like 11.
Okay, so
Goku first says he's 14, but that's because they retconned it because he didn't know how to count.
He also didn't know his age either. So, thank you for looking that up. So Goku was 11. So my bad. It still makes it bad. A 16-year-old girl tries to murder a 11-year-old boy in the face. she shot him straight in the forehead, so she was going for the headshot kill. Runs into Yamcha. They run into multiple other people.
No, first it's Pilaf. No, no, not Pilaf. It is Oolong, the shapeshifting pig.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
it's Yamcha, right?
Yeah, then it's Yamcha. Then it's Then it's fucking what the hell is it called? It's Chi Chi and the Ox King.
Ox King,
They run into Chi Chi and the Ox King, and that also leads them to Master Roshi.
Kamehameha.
Wait, is that when that she was like, "Oh, if you win the tournament"? No, that's later.
That's later.
That's later.
I think it was they visit the Ox King's palace. It's on fire. Nobody knows how to put out the fire.
They travel to Master Roshi's to get the rain fan, and he sold it.
And Master Roshi's just like, "All right, I know how to solve this," and it just does the Kamehameha.
And ends up blowing up the mountain. Instead of putting the fire out, he blows it up.
He does put out the fire. The place is still like destroyed from the fire, but like he does put the fire out
with the fan.
He blew up the mountain.
No. He didn't. You had the fan.
I thought they got the fan. Cause didn't Goku have it on his back?
No. The Goku's treasure memento is the power pole, which is based
you're right.
Chinese mythical creature, the Son Goku, the monkey.
He
and then we also find out Goku's pure hearted and Bulma's 100% not, because you know she tried to murder a child in the face. The only reason we found it out is because of Flying Nimbus. So Flying Nimbus only allows people with pure hearts on.
I mean, she was not only for that too, but like, her wish was to get a fucking boyfriend or an endless supply of strawberries. Goku was just there for the ride.
Strawberries. Yeah, he really was just there for the ride. He didn't know what was going on.
He didn't. He really didn't.
Some of his character development, he started finding out, like, well, I don't know what I really want to do. I've just been living in these mountains my whole life. Then he started coming into combat and fighting different opponents. He's like, well, I really like martial arts. This is fun. Starts training with Master Roshi, and they start entering tournaments and stuff. And you find out how good of a guy he really is and how pure heart he is when he ran across a whole army named the Red Rhythm Army trying to take over the world, and they over here messing with people. And he's like, well, can't have that. So he's over here fighting an entire army by himself and winning.
No. You're skipping a lot of parts right there, man.
I'm skipping some parts, but you know, I haven't seen Dragon Ball in a minute, but
I can explain if you want me to.
Oh, snap! Leo said he gonna take the reins. Wait,
I'll take the reins. Okay. First, after the whole, like, game, so they do get the dragon during his first, like, part of the adventure. They summon it. They're able to stop the villain from using the wish to take over the world. And they were able to sneak one character out right away to take the wish, and the wish was for panties.
That Master Roshi?
From Oolong.
No, it was Oolong, yeah.
We also forgot that Goku never seen a girl before, so he did slap.
Oh, yeah, no.
Except for vagina.
So this man never once, like, the only way for him to tell if you're a different sex, he would do something called pat-pat. Which was pet your genitals to tell which one you were.
Because he didn't know.
Yeah.
He honestly didn't know. It was the most purest thing ever. He truly did not know what a woman was.
And then after the whole Dragon Balls were done, Bulma's like, well, I had to go back to school. And Yamcha was just like, well, I mean, I'm going to go hang out with this chick because it's more interesting. Goku's just like, well, I might as well go train with Master Roshi. So that's what. Then he goes to train off of Master Roshi. Then we meet Krillin, which is supposed to be his rival. They hear about the World Martial Arts Tournament, which they want to enter. After the training's done, they go into the first tournament. Overall, Goku and Krillin are just overpowered. Like, there's just no contest at this, like, tournament.
Wait, Krillin! Wait, you don't have a nose!
Let's talk about Krillin's character development, because Krillin was a fucking scumbag when he first
came. He was. This man did not like Goku just for the very fact that Master Roshi was just willing to train Goku for free, while Krillin felt that, like, he came from a respected monk tribe. Gave an offering.
Shaolin Temple.
Yeah, and like all this, and where Goku's just like some random kid, and like at the time he was wearing Oolong's overalls. He remember his clothes ripped off when he turned into the Great Ape. So yeah. This man is just in overalls asking Master Roshi to train him.
He was just naked after the Great Ape thing.
Yeah,
it's like what happened. Hey, Goku was naked a lot. I don't know why.
Yeah, he was constantly. There was during the first tournament arc when he fights what the fuck was it? Jackie Chun, is actually Master Roshi in disguise. He Goku turns into the Great Ape, and then when Roshi destroys the moon, he turns back. He's like, "All right, time to resume the fight." And they're like, "Oh, hold on, kid, you do realize you're butt ass naked." He's like, "Yeah, so." And so Krillin just gives him his spare clothes.
Would you fight somebody who was naked?
It's like, you do realize you're naked. What's that supposed to mean to me? I'm pure. I don't care.
Oh my god.
He was butt ass naked.
He was. He does that a lot.
Let's get it in.
You're ignorant as hell.
I wouldn't want to fight nobody naked.
After that, the tournament of fighting it and losing to Jackie Chun, he decides that he's going to find his grandfather's lost memento, the 4-star Dragon Ball, and goes off on his journey. During that time, the Red Ribbon Army is advancing, trying to find the Dragon Ball so that their leader, what was his name? I forgot the official dude's name, but I remember his nickname is Red Ribbon.
General Red or some shit like that?
Yeah, General Red. There we go, General Red. Which is really stupid. His wish was to be taller because this dude was short. Sounds like he was a midget.
Wait a minute.
Frieza,
yeah, hold on! Oh, wow.
That was a super that he wishes for that.
I know, but I'm just saying.
But we just correlating.
But, so while Ribbon Army is advancing to find find all the Dragon Balls, Goku's also looking for his. Goku finds two, but they're not. I think it's the 2-star ball and the 6-star ball. I believe he finds. While the Ribbon Army finds about a total of 3, Goku fights one of their forces and gains one of the Dragon Balls. Fights mercenary Tao, someone from the Crane School, the opposite of Goku's Turtle School, and Goku is ultimately defeated. Climbs Korin's tower to get stronger. Korin throws away one of the Dragon Balls that Goku found out into the forest. Goku goes back to retrieve and climbs the tower again. And Korin goes, "Oh, hey, kid, you got up here faster the second time. You must be really stronger now." And Goku just, like, doesn't realize that this entire point was to train him.
That's because he a kid.
Yeah. So, because I think it takes Goku a full day to climb the tower the first time. And then it takes Goku a second time a total of, I think, a few hours to climb it up again. Mm-hmm. And then Korin's just, like, really surprised. And then when Mercenary Tao realized he didn't collect the last Dragon Ball from Goku, he goes back to retrieve it, fights Goku again, realizes Goku's, like, stronger than before.
And realizes Goku's not dead because he thought he killed him.
Yeah. Tries to fight Goku again. Goku immediately surpasses him. Mercenary Tao's just like, "All right, how'd you get stronger, kid?" "Oh, I climbed Korin's tower and drank the sacred water." And Mercenary Tao just climbs up there. Goku just like, "Well, I'm pretty sure we'll be fine." Takes a small nap for a whole day, relaxes, eats. And when Mercenary Tao finally comes back going, "Ha-ha, I drank the sacred water." He's just like, "Mm-hmm, you drank the sacred water for sure. I could feel your power." And still beats his ass.
Hands.
Then, after Goku finds out where all the Dragon Balls are, he goes to the Red Ribbon Army base. Bulma, Yamcha, Master Roshi, Krillin, and Pure, Oolong, and Launch all go there to be like, all right, well, we can't have this kid go fight a whole army by himself. By the time they get there, he already destroyed the entire base. He's like, Goku really just destroyed an entire army base by the time they got there. And everyone is on the ship, like, flying towards the base going like, oh, God. Man, this might be our last and final battle. Some of us might not even come back. And then they finally get there, and Goku's just like, oh, hey, cool, look, guys, I got all the Dragon Balls. It's great.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
First half before we get to the Piccolo Jr. But I feel like we need to go back to Naruto because we skipped out on Gaara, Sasuke.
What I was doing, I was giving an outline real quick, and then I was. That's what I was trying to do, but he went in.
Oh, but
I went in. Yeah,
very important.
No. It is, but I was giving it an outline. So like, I was like, okay, he went here, and then in between, I was gonna go, well, how does that compare to the Dragon Ball? You know what I'm saying? So as far as like the first part, right? They got the bridge building. I would just start with the bridge building because that's where
starts happening.
Yeah,
that's when shit starts happening.
So they get to the bridge building arc. They have a mission. It's supposed to be like a C-ranked mission where you're just supposed to, oh, take this bridge builder there and he's gonna make the bridge, blah blah blah.
You're essentially a bodyguard.
Right, a bodyguard. Escort mission. Not prostitute. Escort mission, right? So Naruto, Sasuke, Sakura, Kakashi, right? This is before we learned about this man Sharingan. This man's okay. So they're about to leave and they get attacked by two spies, essentially. And Sasuke just bodies the two, like, without question. He just bodies the two, right? Which shows the clear difference, because Naruto froze, Sakura useless, and Sasuke just bodies the two, and then Kakashi comes in and is just like, alright, okay, now that we're done with that, and then they leave, and as they're walking away, Naruto actually gets poisoned, and instead of him like, oh, I can't believe you're poisoned, blah, 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 he grabs a kunai, stabs himself, gets it out. And he's like, this mark is going to be like the display of progression that's going to make me a better ninja, blah, blah, blah. And they're all like, so you're ready to go or not? Nah? So after his little moment, they meet the one. I don't know if this part is really important, but they meet the little kid. And, like, his dog, and some of the people end up helping, they, end up letting them stay there for a couple of nights. And so, the little kid don't like Naruto. Really, everybody be on there with Naruto. Between, like, all the little kids, Konohamaru, all that, they just be on there with Naruto.
Nobody likes Naruto at first, and then they realize he's not a bad dude.
Yeah, they just get on there with him. So, but then, the thing I like about Naruto is he treats everybody the same. Like, he is equal left and right. So, He treats, like, everybody the same. So, like, the little kid didn't like him at first, and he's like, I don't care who you are, I'll beat you. Anyway, so they end up, like doing training and stuff. So, they're, like, practicing their chakra. So, they're learning how to, like, climb trees and stuff. And this is where we learn Sakura's ability, because they kind of, like, do, like, the progression is that you see Sasuke at first, right? And you're like, oh, this guy's really good at combat, and he's not scared to, like, act. And then you see Sakura's ability, which is she's very good with chakra control, which I would debate she has the best chakra control in the whole series. That's just my opinion. But she initially, when they're learning, Kakashi's teaching them how to climb trees. Sakura does it like first, second try or something. It was like, no, like, super easy to her. Sasuke's like, why are you so good? So he was decent, but he wasn't as good as her.
The most hating ass nigga.
Yeah, he was
Sasuke, the bitch ass Uchiha.
Yeah, he was definitely he was capping, right? Mm-hmm. And then Naruto he didn't know how to utilize his chakra because we found out later. I mean, we learned later on anyway that the Nine-Tailed Fox was messing with his chakra, like his consumption, and then like how he used it, so he wasn't able to use it at first, like, effectively. But he had so much chakra that it didn't make a difference. So he was able to do certain stuff, but it was like he was using too much. So like initially he kept breaking, like when he tried to run into run up the tree, he would just like use too much force and like end up making crevices into the tree instead of actually just running up the tree. He gets better, but like that shows like the difference in ability, where you like Sakura's like, oh, I'm not a combat specialist, but I can use my chakra very well. Foreshadow. Sasuke is like, he's good, but he's like, but why is she better than me? But she's not really better than me. So you know, that's how that go for him. And Naruto's like, yeah, why do I keep using all this chakra? And then you're like, yeah, okay, Naruto, calm down. But see, even before this, like, when they were assigned to Kakashi after the Genin exams, I'm backtracking real quick, just for information purposes. When they had to fight Kakashi and get these bells from him. And everybody, because they need to learn how to work as a team. That's what the training was. And so Sasuke, of course, they're like, oh, I'm a Lone Ranger, Sasuke. I'm the fucking Lone Ranger guy. And he was doing pretty good, because Kakashi was like, man, this is pretty good for just like a Genin. Then he used fire style fireball jutsu, and he was like, oh, why the fuck does he know that?
He left out because Sasuke and Sakura both dipped off to form a plan. Naruto was like, I'm going to fight him.
No. Because you remember, initially, Sasuke still was on some long ranger shit. Like, oh, no, you're right. Naruto did try to fight him initially. Naruto didn't try to hide. Naruto, he was trying to put hands on him. Okay, that is true. So everybody's like, all right, 1, 2, 3, go. And so Sakura and Sasuke went ahead to try to formulate a plan, and then Naruto was like, hands. And so yeah, he ended up getting the 1,000 years of death, where he puts his fingers up his butt. Well, Kakashi,
fingers all the way up his ass.
which is not okay. He gave him the shocker. He gave him the shocker all in the pink. I mean, all in the stink.
Yep.
So
He put four in his thing.
So he made Naruto. He blasted him off again, Team Rocket style, and then that's when Sasuke ran up like hands, and then you know did a fireball jutsu on Kakashi. He's like, what the fuck? Why do you know that? And then after them two got bodied essentially. Sakura, he was getting jutsu to scare the shit out of Sakura, and she passed out.
Sakura got dominated. Like, that thing never continued for all of the series.
Yeah, the original Naruto didn't do good, like, Sakura very well at all. Minus the one situation that I'm gonna get to, but, like, other than that, they did her kinda dirty. But yeah, they end up, so, he tied Naruto to a post, because he's like, you're supposed to learn how to be a team. And so they tied him to the post and said, don't you feed him, because if you feed him, everybody fail. And Sasuke was like, I'm going to feed him anyway, because if we're going to be on teams, we got to have him at his full power.
At full strength.
And then, but Naruto didn't like Sasuke because low-key, he was kind of hating on him. Like, on the lowest of keys, because Naruto was like, I won't, because everybody, all the women like Sasuke, and he was like, I want women too. But then Sasuke was like, I don't want to, like, be your friend. I'm just trying to, like, avenge my family. But Naruto didn't understand that, so I think it was a little bit of miscommunication there. Anyway, so
wait, before you continue, one's a dirty orphan that no one loves and lives in a fucking shack, and the other one saw his parents get murked in front of his face, but everybody's like, he's so cool and edgy. He's like, I have trauma, bitch. So he's like, alright, here, you gotta eat so we can fight together. And this dumbass bitch Sakura, I'm sorry, she's fucking useless and she sucks. Well, I don't like Naruto. Sasuke's so cool. Yes, Sasuke, we should feed Naruto because blah, blah, blah. Before then, I ain't feeding that nigga nothing.
Yeah, she was like, I ain't about to fail because he inadequate, his trash ass. So, yeah, that's, he not wrong. Why Naruto gotta be a dirty orphan? So basically that was the whole thing. The whole thing was Kakashi was trying to get them to work together, and that was like the first step. And so he was like, I'm going to let y'all pass because y'all essentially are working as a team now. You finally get it. So, on to the bridge builder part, right? When they first meet, well, they met Haku, like, previously, but Haku was a boy, but he's...
Naruto met Haku. Everybody else didn't meet Haku.
Naruto met Haku. But, like, the whole thing was Haku was a boy, but he looks like a girl, like, very much like a girl, so...
Prettier than Sakura.
Yeah, it was pretty... That's what they said in the show.
No homo.
Oh, the homo. Nah, yeah, so he was like, oh, she's cute. I'm a dude. All right, I'm head out. So, that's what happened. Naruto was like, oh, she cute. I'm a dude. All right, I'm head out. But this is the best, but honestly, this is the best arc because it shows, like, the characters that they only gonna show through the whole thing. So, anyway, he beats up Haku, right? And then... Mm-hmm. They all basically free themselves, only to find out Zabuza was hired by a mobster to kill the bridge builder because it was going to mess with his business. Kakashi finally gets the upper hand on Zabuza, and he about to fucking thunder blade him. What is it called? Lightning blade.
Lightning blade.
And then Haku was about to let Naruto kill him. He jumps in the way because he loved him some Zabuza.
He went to go save his dad.
And then that's when Zabuza was like, I have a heart. So then he ended up killing the mob boss.
Yeah, he ended up killing the gangster after, you know, murdering a whole bunch of other gangsters with a kunai in his mouth because he ain't had no more arms.
And so then he was like, all right, that's my last switch. Put me next to Haku because that's my boy. That's when Naruto learns. I think that's when he realized talking on jutsu might work. I just feel like that's kind of his epiphany moment. Two,
talk no jutsu.
He talked no jutsu. You know what I'm talking about, damn it. So then
he also saw how political the world was with money, wars, and keeping conflict going so people could stay in business. Basically, keeping some bullshit going so motherfuckers can make money.
Basically. Then you got each character has their own thing. What makes them sets them apart from the rest, right? Because that's what this whole thing was like. Sasuke, then his Sharingan unlocked. Kakashi having a Sharingan, but not being Uchiha. Different things of that nature. So that was. I want to say that was one of the biggest arcs for Naruto, in my opinion, as far as the beginning goes. And then it goes to the Chunin exams, which part one was kind of funny, where they introduced the extra characters. Because they're extra, let's just be honest.
I was going to say the second arc set up basically what Naruto could have become if he gave in to hate and the concept of hard work and destiny.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
They introduced the extra characters. You got the Rock Lee, Neji, Gaara, who's supposed to be like Naruto's counterpart if he chose hatred instead of, like, if he chose violence instead of jokes, he'd be Gaara.
I mean, you mean if he gave in to all that evil shit that was going on? Because basically, they was getting treated the same, except
he didn't almost get
Gaara's
killed.
Gaara's dad wasn't dead, and he told his uncle to try to kill him after his uncle was the only person that loved him. That's just like Uruka Sensei was like, all right, fuck Naruto, I'm about to kill this nigga right now. that would destroy you. That would actually destroy you because that's the one person who showed you love.
Facts. Facts. Yeah. Big facts. But, like, that's what I'm saying. But, yeah. I think Gaara was, like, the main character for that arc as far as the progression for Naruto.
Yeah, and him. And him.
And itself. And Sasuke. And itself. Well, I think Naruto's always kind of like Sasuke's counterpart where it's like...
The reason I say Sasuke... fighting the Jinchuriki, and then the big climactic fight at the end with Naruto versus Gaara, and Naruto surpassing Sasuke in every which way possible because Gaara was way stronger than him.
No,
was going to kill Sasuke.
Wait, the reason I say it's not necessarily Gaara itself, but it's Naruto, is because he wasn't comparing himself to Gaara. Like, oh, we knew he was, like, the scariest, blah, blah, blah. But, like, Gaara fought Naruto after he fought Sasuke. And Naruto beat him. And so it was like, wait, he could beat him, but I can't? Oh, yeah, hell no.
I was going to say that because during the fight, he was literally watching, like, when you get this strong. This is not the same person I know. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Okay, I see what you mean.
That also got me really pissed off because after the whole thing happens, after everyone's out of the hospital, Sakura legit comes up to Sasuke going, "Thank you for saving me. I know it was you." And Sasuke just goes, "Dead ass, that was not me. That was all Naruto." And Sakura's just like, "There's no
ready for some shit I didn't do."
No. And Sakura's like, "There's no way that Thunderhead really did it. There's no way. He's useless." And Sasuke just gets so fucking pissed and just leaves her there.
Yeah. See, but okay.
Cause they have wait. One more thing because like I said, we gotta
wait. I was gonna wrap it up real quick. First part is the Trinity exams was the written test to see how well they can be a ninja, which that becomes obsolete later. The second part is see how well they can work together and gather like orienteering basically. That part is where Sasuke had the curse mark. 1, 2. That's when Naruto saved Sasuke and Sakura from the snake, which I think that was part one of what you're discussing when he was fighting Gaara.
That's where the jealousy started showing up.
Exactly.
Sasuke froze and Naruto
moved. Yeah, it was the flip from the first arc where, you know, when the two bandits fought and Naruto froze, Sasuke got the bandits. This time Sasuke froze and Naruto got the snake, and it was like supposed to be the flip.
And Naruto was the first one who says, "All right, one, three, Sanin, I don't care. Hands.
Yeah.
All hard. Let's get it in."
To be fair, Sasuke was giving Orochimaru them fangas.
Not at first.
No, he was. Remember? Because he tied him to a tree and used the fire style and then blew his face off.
That was after Naruto fought him.
Oh, yeah, because that was with the snake, right? Okay.
Called himself a bitch.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you're right.
I really just let Naruto just show. No, hell no. Hell no. Let me show my talents.
Yeah, you're right.
So at first,
Orochimaru
showed up and just straight up intimidated this man so bad that he was just going to let him kill him.
Yeah. That's
he was basically a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, you're right. And then Naruto had to save them from the snake. And then it was like, oh no, I got to get these hands. You ain't about to do me. So that was like their progression for that. And then the third part was the prelims. And then like the prelims were those were just there just to show like the side characters fighting styles and stuff. That's just extra shit. And then they got to the end where they end up fighting Neji and then Gaara. And that's when Sasuke fought Gaara. And then he hurt him. And then he freaked the fuck out and turned to a Jinchuriki. And Sasuke was like, shit. And then Naruto was like, I got you, fam. Did the summoning. And then he ended up beating Gaara, right? I know what
basically, Naruto guts his way through it. Basically.
Yeah, he did it. Getting
stronger and stronger as that fight was going on. And Sasuke was like, I would die. What the fuck is going on? I will be killed instantaneously by any of the shit that's going on right now.
Facts.
And that's what leads into the going to go get
the retrieve Sasuke
the
arc.
The fifth Hokage arc, the get the retrieve of Tsunade arc.
Yeah, where
that hatred even increases even more for Naruto. The hatred and the jealousy increase more because he finds out his brother's tracking Naruto. He goes after his brother. His brother don't even give him, not even pay him no attention. Not a bit.
And then he actually does the thing where he grabs him and pushes him against the wall and go, "You weak as hell, son." And then he was like.
And then Genjutsu's him. But notice, he ran up and was like, "I want to fight you, Itachi. I don't care about
Did he use the thousand bird chirp?
He used the Chidori to go strike Itachi. Itachi just straight up grabbed his hand and was just like, "Bitch, what the hell is that?"
You a bitch.
Chokes him out. Chokes him out and puts him in a genjutsu and leaves him there slobbing.
Yep. That's exactly what happened.
That was another thing where he's like, was so weak that I couldn't do nothing to my brother. My brother didn't even pay attention to me. That all it is, they want is Naruto. Naruto this, Naruto that. I'm not strong enough. And that weird snake man said he gonna make me stronger. You know what? You know what?
I'm gonna leave.
And that leads into the first final fight.
We missed another part. The part where Sasuke gets out of the hospital, and they fight on top of the roof.
I know what you're talking about. I was gonna lead into that.
Okay, hold on. I think we're going too far into this. Shouldn't we be like talking about the comparison development of the characters and all that?
Yes.
I was just focusing on Naruto and Sasuke. We talked about Naruto's development. We didn't get a chance to talk about Sasuke's development and his descent into madness.
Yeah, because them are the main. They essentially the main characters. That's where we was going.
Yeah, I was just talking about them real quick, and then I was gonna branch off back into the different other ones. If that's cool.
Okay. That leads into
we go to finish with that, or you just wanna
I was gonna say it leads into Sasuke wanting to go to Orochimaru, so it's retrieve Sasuke art. Yeah.
So after he gets out of the hospital, they fight because he wants to see where he stacks up to Naruto, because he's like, I don't believe you this goddamn strong.
And
mind you, Sasuke's more talented than him, but Naruto's a fucking brick. Is a fucking shit brick house.
He a tank. He a big ass tank.
That nigga's strong. So
he out endurances him basically.
Yeah. So. By this time Naruto learned the Rasengan, which is another character development thing with him learning the fourth Hokage's technique that he created himself. So he learned the Rasengan, and they was about to collide. It looked like from the opposite on the out, like
outside looking in.
From the outside. From the shadow look, it looked like Sasuke was stronger, which satisfied him because he put his hand through the metal grate, and the water was coming out. And Naruto touched
his headband.
Just left a little dent and a little bit of water.
He scratched his headband. Because Sasuke said you would never be strong enough to even.
No, not yet. That's not there yet. We talking about on top of the.
Oh, what's called? Is that when he slammed on top of his head? Or after that?
No, I'm talking about on top of the rooftop.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know where you was going. I didn't know where you were.
I'm just getting to Sasuke's breaking point.
Oh, so, yeah, they end up fighting on the rooftop.
Yeah, so they, Chidori, Rasengan, Kakashi comes in, stops it. The shallow attack was Sasuke's Chidori that left a big hole in that metal thing.
So what happened was
Naruto touched his and it left a little circular thing, but you couldn't see all the internal damage, which blew out the back of it.
So Sasuke, what you're trying to say is,
Sasuke thought he was stronger when he left and saw that Naruto had a big ass blown out back part. He said, if he touched me, I would have died. I thought I was stronger than him. And that's when the Sound 4 came, gave him the offer after he beat them up, and then they went Curse Mark 2. He lost again. Basically, Sasuke was sick of losing. And he wanted to get stronger. And then he went into the Descendant Madness and jumped in the crate.
Okay. I know which part you were wrong.
That's what led into the Final Valley and all the other stuff, and all the other fights that happened. I'm not going to speak on them because that had nothing to do with Naruto's character development. But when him and Sasuke fought again, and they were about equal until Naruto powered up, started beating him up. He powered up, got a third Tomo, beat him up, dropped him on his head, basically killing this dude.
Yeah, he killed Naruto's ass.
Basically, he didn't kill him.
He hurt him though. He was hurt.
He gave that boy a spinal.
And they end up fighting. Nigel
Fox powered him up again, and Sasuke was like, "All right, case curse mark two." And it ended with Naruto just wanting to scratch the headband, and Sasuke going for the kill. But the whole time, Sasuke was most definitely 100% trying to kill Naruto the entire time, and could not do the job.
He couldn't finish the job. He was a bad assassin.
He could not do it, which irritated this man, but he realized, he was like, all right, he's still my friend. I'm not about to be strong like how my brother got strong, which is what a lot of people determined, but said was the case, which was not the case, because in all honesty, Sasuke didn't have no energy left to try to even attempt to kill him. He had to still get to Orochimaru. So that's part one. That's their character development. The Sasuke in the pursuit of more power and getting stronger and going into the darker side of, you know, I got to be by myself and do this. And Naruto more on the, I got this way because a whole bunch of people have helped me get this way and I need to fight for them. Even though they treat me like shit.
See, that's true. Okay, so I was gonna go. The Dragon Ball story is vastly more entertaining, is because it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's originally supposed to be more of a comedy, correct? Okay, so I was saying that I really like Dragon Ball. Because I don't like, because it's a fighting, like, they do martial arts and they fighting and stuff, but there's like, it's not to be taken too serious. So
yes.
Okay, you threw me off, my bad.
That's because it's a parody off of like traditional fighting anime and manga. It's a whole like joke.
Right.
The techniques they use, the combat style.
Right. So it's, I really like that story, and it's pretty simple. It's simple. It's nothing too outrageous. It's a pretty simple story, and it's just like, oh, this is a joke. This is funny. This is cool. I like the fighting. You know what I'm saying? Nothing major. Mm-hmm. That's why it's simple and to the point. So that's why I think one of Dragon Ball is, first off, like top tier anime, like one of the best. Because it doesn't take yourself too serious. At least Dragon Ball doesn't. And then, as far as Naruto goes, it's serious, but it also has its comedic moments, and I think that helps balance it out a little bit. But like I say, it's not too over the top. It's not like they don't throw random curveballs to where things just don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, kid, grow up. He has a friend. His friend, you know, has all these issues, and they're kind of the same, but not really. And you know what I'm saying? It's nothing major. No curveballs, no continuity errors, nothing. Just chill.
So I kind of went in with Sasuke and Naruto. Do you mind if I could just go in a little bit more with Goku? Because we kind of left out a couple of things.
I actually wanted to get to the part where he, because was it pre-time skip? Because then they do a time skip in Dragon Ball, right?
There's like a slight few time skips. It's like a year passes or like 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh no, there's the year time pass, which was the one after the first tournament. Second tournament. And then no, there's the first one, because it's a whole year passes by while he's looking for the Dragon Balls, because he has to wait. And then the second time skip is when he's near an adult, like 18 years old, during when he fights Piccolo.
Oh, wait, you left out when he was 16, and this is after the Ten Shinhao World Tournament, then there was the other one with, that's when the whole Piccolo Jr. stuff started happening.
Yeah, no, it was 3 years later.
No, Piccolo Jr. was 3 years later. It was the Piccolo stuff that happened a year later after the Ten Shinhao stuff. Remember?
No. It was the Red Ribbon Army, and then there was a tournament when he fought Ten Shinhao, and then, yeah, it was a year later when the whole Piccolo thing started.
Yeah, happened. That, and that then, was the time skip right there. That was a time skip.
Then and it was 3 years.
They time skip again where he met Kami. Yeah. Okay. I'm just making sure we got everything. I don't want to be confused.
Okay, we got the... So, which part did we leave? Wait, the Red Ribbon. The Piccolo Jr. Did we talk about Piccolo Jr.?
No, we didn't. We didn't even talk about Piccolo, because that was important for like Goku's, you know, development.
Okay, Piccolo. Go.
Wait. Piccolo Senior, the whole development is that after the second tournament, after the fighting Ten Shinhao, Krillin is murdered by a stray demon who is grabbing the 4-star Dragon Ball that Goku left behind in the locker room. Goku chases after the demon, realizes he can't defeat the demon, and is knocked out. Meets Obi, a random fat dude in the wilderness who just eats like a caveman, just hunts giant fish or food and just eats it.
As fuck, because he killed one of the other demons that showed up on him.
And in response, Goku asks him if he can take him to Korin Sour to possibly get stronger and train to help fight against King Piccolo and his demon forces. While that was happening, Tien Shinhan, Master Roshi, and Yamcha were training to and tracking down what King Piccolo was doing. Goku is finally arrives at Korin's tower and has Yamcha Roshi carry him while Yamcha Roshi climbs up the tower. Korin gives Goku a sensu bean and is able to heal him up and explains that there's no point in training Goku, there's not enough time, and there's no real source that will unlock his true potential unless he goes into get the actual sacred water, where Goku has to enter a maze-like system that weighs heavy on his conscience, but it doesn't affect Goku since Goku's a pure of heart. Yamcha Roshi is constantly scared of while traveling through the maze. At the very end, Goku confronts the water demon that tells him, like, all right, if you drink this, your latent potential will be unlocked. But there's also a high possibility that you will die. So Goku takes the risk, enters a painful like state, is constantly screaming and like in pain while Yamcha Roshi's freaking the fuck out. While that happens, Tien Shinhan and Master Roshi go fight King Piccolo. King Piccolo is too strong. Master Roshi couldn't perfect the evil containment wave and is ultimately killed by Piccolo. Tien Shinhan decides to take the mantle and learn the evil containment wave and also get strong to fight King Piccolo.
Not to mention Chiaotzu. Chiaotzu.
Chiaotzu didn't really... Chiaotzu did die. Yeah, that's right.
Everyone's favorite martyr.
And then Goku finally wakes up from his pain coma, realizes his like strength that has rose significantly, and just goes, "We gotta go," and then just heads off.
If I'm correct, he did fight Piccolo before he made the wish to become younger, right?
Yes, because while Goku was in his pain coma, Master Roshi and everyone was trying to gather the Dragon Balls to wish Krillin back to life. And also stop King Piccolo from gathering the Dragon Balls. They ultimately fail. King Piccolo regains his youth and his prime strength back before he was like old and jaded. Tien Shinhan goes to train to learn and perfect the evil containment wave. At the very end, while Goku's heading back, Tien Shinhan decides to fight King Piccolo, but fights one of his demons. Tien Shinhan just gets his ass beat hard, like it is a slobber knocker. Goku comes in, easily defeats the demon with like a few hits, and then just it goes from that point on in time of like, this kid's far stronger than when I fought him in the tournament. Goku and King Piccolo have like a traumatic fight. The end result is Goku using, I forgot the damn technique's name.
It's basically just a dragon fist.
It's close to the dragon fist, yeah. But at the last thing before King Piccolo died, he spat out an egg and threw it somewhere far away, hoping that it would that one day when it grows up, it will complete his task. Yeah, his mission. Goku is knocked out. He's put back at Korin's tower. Korin tells him, like, hey, kid, that was a pretty good fight. But King Piccolo is still not dead. Like, before you killed him, he, like, spat up the egg. And this kid's going to be far more powerful than you. So Goku learns that he can go train with Kami, needs the power pole that Tien Shinhan took back at Master Roshi's place.
And for those who don't know, Kami in translation means God.
Yeah, God, this guy is the God of Earth. Like, Billy? He's the defender. Yeah.
Billy.
Billy. and it's funny too, is everyone's congratulating Goku for, like, you know, saving the Earth and all that, and Goku just goes, that's not important right now, I'm gonna go train with God. And everyone's just like, does this man really just go say he's gonna go train with God?
Yes, and then he does.
Yes, he does, for 3 years.
Was he 12?
No, 13. Goku is 16. Right? No, he was 16.
Because he was 19 when he with the neck after the time skip.
Oh, okay. No, he's 18. He's 18 when he with the whole tournament with Piccolo. He's 18.
My bad. So pre time skip, he was 15. Then it was 3 years. Then he's 18.
Yeah.
Okay. Because only reason
it's 15. I'm not 16. Now.
The only reason I say that is because I know you're going. This is coming up, but isn't it it's a scene where was it Bulma, Master Roshi? I might be too early, but it's like raining. And
rain?
No, never mind. Don't even worry about it.
You mean when they first meet up at the tournament after not seeing each other?
That's coming up. Yeah, like they haven't seen each other for 3 years.
Yeah,
Bulma's like basically just hot adult. Master Roshi's there. Oolong's there. Yamcha comes in. I think the first one to come in is Krillin, and he didn't really get that tall.
Yeah.
Like, he's still short. I think then it's Yamcha, then Chen Shinhan, and then while the tournament is about to, like, close in, like, 10 minutes, Goku finally comes up, and it's just like, hey, guys, what's up? And everyone's just like,
who the hell are you?
Yeah, like, does anyone know this guy? And then Goku's just like, oh, come on, you guys don't really recognize me? Takes off, like, the turban he's wearing.
Yeah. And he's all tall and stuff.
He's tall, and they all recognize him by his hair.
Yep. Yes. Ah, good times. Okay.
Yeah, like, the whole tournament begins. The tournament really ain't shit. It's just who's going to fight King Piccolo. Tien Shinhan thinks he's stronger than Goku because after all these years, and Goku just goes, hold on, wait, let me take off these
wings. Wait, clothes. He does the Rock Lee! Ha ha!
I'm not lying, before the fight even begins, Goku just goes, hold on, let me just take off these weighted clothes. I'm just getting tired of wearing them. And he's just like, there's no point in, like, trying to scare me like that. It's probably just, 10, pounds on you. It takes off, like, the shirt. It's 120, kilos?
Uh-huh.
The boots were 80 kilos each. And the wristbands were 40.
He was like, oh, shit.
And everyone just goes, what the fuck is wrong with this man?
Constant state of training.
Mm-hmm. And then Kami just, like, looks at, like, watches the fight, goes, oh, look at him. He's finally taking off those stupid things.
Oh, mind you, Kami was pretending to be a weird old dude.
Yeah, he was pretending to be just weird old dude that somehow, like, got lucky and drunk and, like, won the tournament. He just took someone's body and just was like, hey, I'm just here in disguise, like, just in case shit goes down.
In other words, he was being God. He was being mysterious.
Yeah. Goku just easily just shows Tien Shinhan that he's just far stronger now.
One second. We also forgot that Chi-Chi told him, he said, are you going to marry me one day? He said, sure thing.
That's afterwards.
Food. Oh, that was after that?
Remember, it's Tien Shinhan fight first. And then we watch Krillin battle Piccolo Jr. Krillin loses. And then I believe the next fight is with Chi-Chi and Goku. And then that's when Goku's just like, wait, what is, the fuck was it? What does get married mean? Is that food? And then Krillin just usually shouts out, like, no, dude, you ask her for her hand in marriage. You're going to marry her. And then just explains what the process is. And she goes, oh, yeah, sure, I guess I'll just marry you.
All right, cool. What? Yes.
Yes. They get married, and Chi-Chi just forfeits the tournament with granting Goku the win. And then the next fight is Goku versus Piccolo.
Body, 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 body.
And then, that's it.
And then, wait, he went?
Yeah, no, Goku wins against Piccolo.
Does his arm get torn off?
Piccolo. No. Piccolo doesn't fight Goku yet. Piccolo fights Kami.
Okay.
In the drunken dude state, they have, like, the weird alien talk. And then Piccolo easily surpasses Kami, traps him in evil containment wave, and swallows the bottle. Meaning that the only way to save Kami is by literally killing Piccolo and going to the stomach and grabbing the bottle.
Hit him with that Mortal Kombat special.
Mm-hmm. In the process of fighting, I think Goku shoots a Kamehameha and it does tear off one of Piccolo's arms, but he's able to, like, regenerate. Grow it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like that part because he's just like, I got another one. What?
Yeah.
And after the whole fight, Goku beats him. Then they was like, why don't you kill him? And then Kami's like, kill him. He's like, no. If I kill him, you're going to die. He said, I'll be fine. You'll be the next Guardian of Earth. I don't want to do that. But
come on for all that.
He said, now he said, I don't want to do that. He also showed mercy for the first time. Because Goku killed motherfuckers.
I mean, Goku's always showed mercy. It's just at the very end. It's just like, well, they chose death.
Yeah.
I mean, Goku doesn't really kill people. He kind of just beats their ass really bad. Goku doesn't really kill that many people. Like, yeah, if you actually look at the kill list, Goku doesn't really kill that many people. It's mostly Goku, like smaller creatures and animals, but like...
Kid Goku killed a whole army.
No, he didn't.
I mean, to be fair, Did he actually murder them? Yeah.
No, he did not murder them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, did he actually, like, murder these people, or did he just beat their ass to the point of unconsciousness?
He beat their ass, and the majority of them were just like, fuck this, and just left.
Fuck that
That's
noise.
That's basically what happened.
If he's blowing up entire buildings, and they're inside, and they're regular people.
Okay, how about... How like this? He's not intentionally killing people. It's like, they happen to be in a building that he's blowing up.
No, okay, yeah, but he wasn't, like, blowing up buildings. Motherfucker, they were... shooting rocket launchers at this man. He was dodging. They were blowing up their own building.
They were, that's fair.
Kid Goku has a high.
He has a high body count, but it ain't nowhere near like fucking Vegeta's.
Vegeta was blowing up planets.
Hell yeah, he was.
Like, Goku will never be able to, but if you're saying
strictly like as up like Goku has a high kill count compared to everyone in Dragon Ball Z, I can't even give it to him.
I was saying as he got older, he became more merciful because he was killing a lot of people.
But no, I think the difference. I don't know. I feel like the difference is he wasn't doing it on purpose.
He wasn't even. I don't even think he was killing people. I honestly don't think so. I think there was a few people who died.
He killed the ninja dude.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he did. The ninja dude never died.
Yes, he did. I will go back and watch it. I saw him kill him.
I just feel like he didn't do it on purpose.
Because I remember when he met Hayner during that place, they didn't even kill the final boss, that general dude. It was the demon who swallowed him up.
That's true.
That wasn't even Goku's, fault. Well, I don't know. That's true.
But I was saying, compared to adult Goku, Kid Goku got a high-ass body count.
Well, yeah, that's...
I don't know. I can't say that, but... Well, going on, that's the entire plot. Like, the whole plot development of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z is very simple. There's a villain, it's stronger than Goku in any of his current forms. Goku goes off to go train.
Side characters
get their little sideshow of trying to fight the main villain and get their ass beat. Goku comes back with a new powered up form, kicks the boss's enemy's ass, and we just do it over and over again.
Wait, he did that in Dragon Ball?
Dude, oh my god, yeah.
That form was always there then.
He didn't have forms, he just went and trained.
Oh, okay, my bad. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, my bad.
He basically just trained more. That's basically whole concept of Dragon Ball.
I think it was the words being used that triggered me. My bad. I take it back. Okay.
It's really noticeable in Dragon Ball Z. But in Dragon Ball, he's just constantly getting stronger.
I was gonna say, did y'all want to just leave it at part one?
Part one,
and just continue for part two next episode because
of course
this going on pretty long. We said
world
building, writing, and characterizations, and which one do you feel is better yet? So
fair enough.
So sorry folks, we're sticking to part one. So
we'll be back next time in another exciting episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Versus Naruto.
How do y'all feel about the individual world building for both of them?
Naruto had a better world building. Dragon Ball Z's world building has always just repetitively stayed the same. The only time it slightly got different was with Future Trunks, but at the very end, it still became the same thing.
You know what's funny? I would have to say a little bit differently with their world building, because it's more diverse with the Dragon Ball. Because Dragon Ball's world building brought in a whole demon realm. They brought in the Land of the Dead.
Well, no, they brought the whole Land of the Dead, and then we end up finding out like later in Dragon Ball Z, it got retconned hard.
Yeah, but we're sticking to part one.
All right.
So they brought in Land of the Dead, the demon realm. They brought in God. Well, the God of Earth.
Oh, wait, no. There is one part we did miss out for Goku's development when he fought his grandfather, Gohan.
After his death, yep.
Yeah.
Fought him in the undead tournament or something where they were all fighting these zombies.
No, they were fighting to get the a fortune teller from Fortune Teller Baba to find out the last location the last Dragon Ball was.
Oh, Goku, yeah.
Everyone fought in this small little tournament to get in order to get a fortune from Fortune Teller Baba, I believe it's like $1 million. The equivalent, but instead, Fortune Teller Baba enjoys fighting tournaments and was like, "Hey, if you can defeat my underworld like fighters, I'll grant you like a free like fortune telling." So everyone was like, "Bet we can do it." Everyone participates and gets their ass beat until Goku finally just goes, "All right, my turn," and just wins. And at the very end, his last fight is against his grandfather, who came back for a day to help out Fortune Teller Baba.
And I also see his grandson one more time.
Yeah, so Goku is just like, how does he know all my moves and all my tricks? And why is he doing the same exact thing? And then eventually his grandpa grabs his tail and goes, "Huh, you never really trained your tail, did you? I already told you that was your horrible weakness." And Goku immediately realizes that's his grandfather.
Oh yeah, he ended up training up his tail after that too.
Yeah.
We forgot about that, but alright. That's true. That's all true. But, like I said, with their world building, they have undead, the land of the dead. They have super big, diverse cities, and not just cities, different continents, different people, areas. You have human ethical hybrids. You got dinosaurs walking around. So
with flying cars everywhere.
Flying cars.
It's futuristic, but it's also
prehistoric.
Primitive.
Prehistoric.
Yeah.
Prehistoric, but it's also fantasy like and it's also fantasy and sci-fi all in one big caboodle. So in my opinion, I think Dragon Ball has a better world building aspect because it's more interesting. It's more stuff there.
They have more factors to it versus just like it's like you say the dinosaurs, which is totally like you go from literally one part of the world to the next and you got flying cars and you get the other part. It's just like,
and on the other side you got fucking dinosaurs walking around.
Dinosaurs just chilling.
I'm trying to think which one's a better place to live in. And I think the Naruto will be better to live in because let's be honest here, everyone only ever targets the Leaf Village.
I was going to talk about the Naruto world building because Naruto's world building, it's okay, but it's literally ninjas. They show some other stuff later on in part two, but really it's more or less these four nations, and we really kind of just stick with Konoha. We do see a little bit of the Sand Village.
Right.
Like, we see them, and they're kind of still at war even though they're not declare war yet, so they always it's always a hostile ass area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see these other little small villages here and there, and then it's just like, all right, it's interesting, but it's more or less kind of like, I would say more feudal Japan, but a little bit, but it's bigger because it's a bigger continent and different lands and stuff, and how the political system works and. That's interesting, but it's more grounded and it's not as diverse as I say the Dragon Ball one.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I will say this: in order a better place to live in, I would say the Naruto universe. Let's be honest here; it's only ever Konoha that gets attacked. If we just don't live there, we'll be fine.
I'm just gonna go live in the Cloud Village. I ain't got time for nothing else.
Exactly. In Dragon Ball Z, there's literally a villain just going, "All right, I'll give you the count of three. One, blows up a city. Two, blows up another city. Three.
And there goes the planet.
I don't think I want to live in Naruto's world because they always at war. It is not just Konoha. People in the Rain Village just been chilling, blah, blah, blah. Hey, we coming to your house and invading. But we don't have nothing to do with this war. Fuck up.
I guess we had the reassurance that the heroes in Dragon Ball Z will bring everyone back to life. I guess there's that.
After being just
a random beef that exactly. has nothing
to do with you. Imagine in Dragon Ball Z, you're just chilling, like watching TV at your house, and out of nowhere, you're just like, why is the sky red? And just bam, you're dead.
Hey, Ice King. Hey, Fred. Back again. Yep. Back again. Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely here. I kind of understand that. I don't know. I still wouldn't want to live in Dragon Ball universe, though. Because I feel like... Because if you think about it, the androids weren't just going, like... They were murking people, too. Like, they...
They were murking people.
My bad. But look. In part one, you had the very baby army. And it was just, I want your shit. All right.
They a bunch of terrorists.
Yeah, they were terrorists. Blowing shit. Then they had Nazis, which... That's wild. They had... Hitler on there. Why? Don't they have...
He's talking about the movie.
Oh, that's the movie? Oh, see, I never watched the Dragon Ball movies. Movie. I never watched the Dragon Ball movies, but they had Hitler in one of the Dragon Ball movies, and I'm just like, y'all savage as fuck. But then they had to cut that out. Anyway. No, I'd rather... I don't know. I feel like I'd rather live in Naruto universe. I just go in one of the villages and just be chilling.
I'd rather be in the Dragon Ball universe. It's more whimsical. I'd rather not be just chilling at home and then just a group of ninjas rolls up in my shit talking about
something. Get out.
Yeah, we're going to kill you and eat all your food. Nigga! Stab.
Fair enough. I just see it as the only place that's constantly getting torn up is Konoha. And I'm just like, if we just don't live over there, we'll be good.
Not true, because that's what I meant by the world building in part one. You don't see all the other ones fighting because all of them be fighting each other.
Yeah,
because you got the land of fire, the land of what? Like what is
the land of fire, the land of
waves,
the land of waves,
earth, the land of steel.
That's fucking.
There's too many lands.
And the land of clouds. So it's just like,
that they don't actually really venture out into either. Like, they talk about them, and they got, like, certain episodes of, like, a movie or something. But, like at least in Dragon Ball, you go to Namek, and you're like, oh, this is Namek. And then, like, they explain certain stuff. Oh, God damn it. My bad. Look. My bad. I'm just saying. Look. My bad. But, yeah. I don't know.
We'll be finding out more again in part two of Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, so I say world building is better in Dragon Ball. You both say world building better.
You said world building, as far as
I'll say Dragon Ball Z. I actually prefer Dragon Ball Z's.
No,
I just to live there. Nah, I don't want to die by a random death beam.
No, that's what I thought you were saying.
World building, as in the overall landscape.
Like the variety, how they expand on certain things.
Yeah.
I would say Dragon Ball does it a little better than Naruto as far as...
So Dragon Ball got better world building?
I think they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leo, do you agree as well?
Naruto's world building is like pretty big and it's still always ever expansive. I agree with that, but I enjoyed the whimsical part of Dragon Ball, so I'll just stay with that.
So that's the world building. What about characterization and character development?
I
believe has better character development, either Dragon Ball characters or
Naruto characters, but hands down. Majority of Dragon Ball characters are just there to be like, this person's stronger than Goku is now Goku's new rival. All right, Goku surpassed them. That's it.
I will say Naruto's characters are more complex, so I'll
yeah.
I'll go with Naruto for right now. Until we get to part two.
I will give you that as far as, Dragon Ball, I think they have a little bit more because, since it, like, as far as it, like, because it is part one, so they're, like, they're introducing a lot more, so the characters, when they introduce them, they all have their own, like, moveset. And
they have their own moveset, but you could say it about Naruto characters. They have their own moveset as well.
I would debate that the main characters are basically just clones.
If you look at Shiba, he had the dog. Kiba? Who's the dude? Kiba. Who
no,
had
no, the dogs? You're talking about,
But I'm talking about characters, as in everyone, all the characters.
Yeah.
No. I was saying, who you mean? Who has better characters? Like ones we can.
Who has better character development?
Development, right? Oh, their
character is the best.
No, I'd probably say Naruto too. You're right. I was thinking
of characters and their backstory, even not even just Naruto himself, like. In terms of characters and like their whole entire backstories and like why they're fighting, why they're doing this, you had to give it to Naruto. Majority of Dragon Ball's like reasons of like why I'm doing this, I want to wish for a girlfriend, I want to wish for a boyfriend, I want money, I want total power. They're not complex.
They do have some stuff over there, but it's not as complex as in Naruto.
Yeah, it's one dimensional. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's pretty one dimensional. Yeah. I'll give you that. So I agree. Naruto does have a better like storytelling aspect. As far as with that being the case, like as far as the storytelling goes, I would just say that.
That's what I'm about to say. That's like the final thing was writing.
Oh yeah. Naruto. Yeah,
final thing writing Naruto or Dragon Ball, and that's basically how the story's being portrayed. Character development, world building. We're throwing all that stuff together. Who you think has more proficiently told the story better?
Honestly, Naruto, dude. I'm not even gonna lie. I love Dragon Ball, but Naruto is probably the only anime that's like 5,000 episodes that I would probably rewatch.
You mean 500
episodes? I see, including the fillers. I watched all the fillers.
Yes, that still be 500
episodes. You're a braver man than I am. Okay, I cannot go back and watch Dragon Ball filler. No, not Naruto fillers. I cannot do that.
I watched every single episode.
Naruto fillers to me are just fucking boring.
They are boring.
I mean, okay. How do you feel about? I'll even go. I'll just do a couple more intros and outros. Which one do you think has a better intro and outro?
I still love to this day the Dragon Ball intro. Which the one? English one too.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I do, but I love it too. But Naruto had more. So
yeah, I did. Yeah.
You are my guys. I swear, you are my friend. That's the only one I cannot get out of my head.
Oh,
I love Fighting Dreamers. You are
my friend. Fighting Dreamers is legit too.
Fighting Dreamers is a good one.
We didn't say who had the best writing so far.
Naruto. I said Naruto.
Naruto. Well, yeah, no, it's Naruto.
Well, okay, wait. Okay.
I'm
different with mine because
if you want something simple, go Dragon Ball. If you want something like a little bit like more meat on your plate, then go to Naruto.
Yeah, I'll say that because I was like, I find the simplicity very nice.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Because it's not super heavy where
convoluted or anything.
So much backstory that has to keep happening over and over and over
again. Yeah. There's very few points in Dragon Ball where there's a lot of explaining to do. It's all pretty simple, or it's just chalked up to weird fucking magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their power structure is pretty simply
explained
out. Because
once we get to part two, Naruto got problems.
He said Naruto
got some motherfucking problems.
He said Naruto got problems.
No problems.
No, you're right. Because
I put them about equal when it comes to writing.
I like it better when Goku's a kid because it's so random and it's just like what's happening. I don't know, but I love it. Why is he naked? Yes. All right. Alright.
He's a kid. That's why.
Yeah. In fact,
there's a scene where everyone's just like, there's random people just like out fishing on the pond. Just like, oh, hey, Ted, like, how is your day? And you just see Goku come out of, like, the fucking pond.
With
like,
a giant fish.
With a giant fish butt-ass naked. He's just like, hi, guys.
He's like, yo, naked boy with a fish. No. So, did you guys read the Dragon Ball manga?
Yeah.
What about the Naruto manga?
Yeah.
I didn't read neither one of them. Oh, I read a few the Dragon Ball manga. I do like how Dragon Ball has one where Goku Kamehameha's and he breaks the panel. That's like, yeah.
There's a lot of like gimmicks in the manga that like if him just breaking like a panel or like if he punches an enemy so hard they're sent flying. They're sent flying to a different panel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That I gotta give it to him on that one. So as far as let's say manga goes, what do you say?
Oh, I love the Dragon Ball manga. Hard.
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right, and for the final thing, enjoyment wise, which one did you
find? Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball.
Damn! Did I enjoy like just generally like oh if I want to go
just
watch
enjoyment one. As in you could sit down and just have a good time.
All right. I'm gonna say Naruto, but only by like the size of a grain of rice. That's how large the gap is. You know what I'm saying?
So a very small margin Naruto peaks out for your enjoyment.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to say enjoyment wise, my go-to is Dragon Ball, but I truly do enjoy Naruto as well. So that's all the points. So
There we go. We got through.
Any closing statements, boys?
Believe it.
Anything you got to say, Leo?
No, that's it. I'm good.
My closing statement is, just go out, have a good time, and enjoy what you watch. Enjoy yourselves. There's no reason that we have to have toxic
communities
or gatekeeping
communities. Because you know, if you like it and you enjoy it, then that's fine. No one else has the right to take that away from you.
Damn straight.
Damn straight.
And we out.